Oh my God. So, Threads. It's interesting. I've never observed a product rollout this close up. I bet a lot of other people haven't either. Maybe it's just been a long time. I've been on the other side of these things. And sometimes just watching them roll out, not in the millions, but it was the equivalent of millions when we did Radio Userland in 2002, I think it was, early 2002. And you could just see the new users logging on, and then you could see them updating their blogs. And there was a place where you could observe, called weblogs.com of all things, where you could see them in reverse chronologic order updating. And it was low tech, but it looked good and it did the job. And this is what I feel is missing from, I mean, it's very far away. That's the thing. It's the way it feels right now, is that this new network that they've started feels far away in a way that Facebook never has. But that said, I joined Facebook long after it was established. And Instagram never interested me, seriously, because it was just an iPhone app for a very, very long time, all the way up until, I think, just a few, couple of years ago, actually, was it that you could access it and post to it. I think, you know, I don't think that they ever really thought of the web as being a place that they wanted to be. And somehow they gave in. You know, these big companies always have mixed opinions about these things internally. There are always some people who see it one way and other people see it a different way. And, you know, so I think that they intend for Threads to be present on the web, at least somewhat. See, this is the thing, is these guys always hide from the web as much as they can. And I guess I understand it's like the phones give them a lot more power and they want that power. And the more that they get you sucked into using the phones, then, you know, the harder it is to get away, because the only place you can go on the phones is their thing, you know. It's like, why can't I just program my TV to show me the movies I want, regardless of where the subscriptions are, you know? I mean, if it's on Netflix or Hulu or Max or any of, I mean, that's just the beginning of places where I can watch, you know, movies. Why the hell do I have to go through their user interfaces? That's like a, you know, that's a tax. It's something that they pay for too, because, well, let's not get into that. But it's the same thing happening here on social media as well. But anyway, if I were them and or had it, you know, any power internally to, let's just say I was God of this thing and I could decide what was being done, I would make sure that there's a way to observe what's happening there from outside. Because right now it's too many, you have to jump through too many hoops to get in there. And I supposedly had the simplest case possible. I had an Instagram account. So it should have just been a matter of me saying, yeah, let's try it. And, you know, already logged in. What's the hard? I mean, why is that hard? But yet it was just so many steps. And I never did get it installed on my Android phone. But I switched over to the iOS phone and that just kind of worked. But, you know, I'm a writer, right? And the longer this goes on, the more I realize that what I want is a writing web. And I'm willing to take a much smaller thing because I don't need a lot of people. I prefer a smaller number of people. I've reduced my communities down, in some cases, to just 60 or 70 people. And those are the most interesting ones. There's a sense of collegiality, you know, and friendship. And I only, for the private ones, I only pick people that I know are kind people, whose first impulse is to be nice. It's because they care about how other people feel, and they're kind of aware of it and tuned in. You know, at my age, I'm 68 years old. I kind of don't have too much patience for people who don't care about other people. Because you have always have a very low-level conversation with them. So I like small groups of people that kind of enjoy other people. That would be the basic. And have something interesting to add. It doesn't have to be that interesting. A little bit of kindness is, whatever, it's worth it. So anyway, if I had been Facebook, I would have made it so that there was a way to observe what's happening so that all the conversations outside of it are all without any examples. I can't show you what I'm talking about. If somebody says something interesting there, I can't post that on Twitter. That's crazy. That's the most fundamental, that's word of mouth is completely cut off for this product. They did put an embed command in, but that was like, God, that, how did that be the first way that you get content out of your thing? Because it limits it to people who can embed things in web pages. And that's a small group of people. Why? And aside from that, it's very hard to read it. You know, I mean, I didn't realize I thought I was the last person in the world that didn't do everything on phones. So yesterday when I wrote about this on my blog, I said, you know, I know that, you know, you only think, you know, that it's because I'm a boomer that I want to use this in the web. And I got back actually a lot of I was irritated. I would in advance because I could anticipate this coming. Oh, don't you know everybody uses phones these days? Sorry, I made it sound like you're an idiot. Because nobody said that. In fact, I got back, you know, people were angry with me because I was expressing such a low opinion of younger people. Believe me, I'd love to find areas where we're in sync so we could work together. You know, I mean, there's a lot of power in younger and older people working together. There really is. You know, I'd like to share what I have learned because otherwise, you know, that's just some of the value of the learning. And I like creating value. It just never changes. You know, it's like always there. I always want to do that. So if I were them, I would hurry that part out as quickly as possible. Make it easy to read it. And by read it, I mean, you know, let me log in. Let me say, in fact, I already am. That's fucking crazy. I'm logged into Instagram on the web. Why the hell doesn't that log me onto your... I know. I understand. You just haven't done it yet. So it's a question of priorities. And go for it, you know. I have to hold my nose while I'm using this thing because, you know, I've become very negative on Mark Zuckerberg. You know, more than even Elon Musk. And that's hard to do. That's really hard to do. It's because, why is that? I mean, yeah. It's because at least I sense, you know, it's kind of like in the 80s. I competed with a man named Philippe Kahn. And he's a brilliant guy. I mean, really, he looked at problems in a way that I like to do, but I don't do often enough, is that they're very pragmatic. How can I cut down 99% of the work in doing this particular task? That's sort of the viewpoint you look at it, because if everybody else is oblivious to this thing, then it is often possible to cut out 99% of the work. And the first time I saw him see that was with a product called Turbo Pascal. And I was a Pascal programmer at the time, and the thing that it did that no Pascal system I had ever seen or no compiler I had ever seen do before is it just ran code instantly. It just, the compiler was optimized for speed. And that they could do that tells you that I wasn't in the business at the time of writing compilers for personal computers, but the fact that they could do that tells you something about the people who wrote the compilers that came before, is that it never dawned on them that they could cut it down from a build from being, I don't know, sometimes 5 minutes. Sit there, watch the thing, crying. That's when I became a good drummer, by the way. It was just because those periods of time when you're doing a build, it takes 5 minutes, but, you know, you got to do something, right? And he made it so that, like, you press return and it's the program's running. Boom. Why? If that was... And then, you know, later on, ThinkC came out, where they called it Lightspeed C. And that became a super hit in the Macintosh business because it did that, the same thing that, that Philippe Kahn's product did. It did it on the Mac. And it also had a better integrated editing environment. It had the idea of projects, and that was very useful. But it was still that, boom, instant compile, you know? And the thing is that I think Musk has that same gene. And in the same way that Philippe Kahn could get in your face, I mean, really get in your face, he was like, he was snotty. he was a bastard. I told you the good stuff first. Isn't that nice? He was a fucking bastard. That guy came up to me once. He was always trying to put you down and make you feel bad. I think that's what he was doing. But it worked. It did make me feel bad. And so one day I did get to tell him to fuck off. And that was nice. Because my product was so successful that it was just his stupid fucking bid to buy it was just insulting. And I told him, I said, you're crazy. Fuck off. And I should have given him a big hug right there. I said, thank you very much for letting us put a nice cap on our friendship. So, and he went on to, I mean, it's still, he didn't stop then. I mean, he just kept doing. They had a product called Sidekick and it had all kinds of really cool things in it that it could do that were, again, these kinds of things that you'd have to really use a product to see the, you know, you have to have the combination of two things where you're a deep user of the product itself and you also have the ability to write, add features to it. You're a programmer. I don't know if he was the programmer, but he was certainly able to communicate the idea to the programmer, and the programmer listened. Who knows? I don't know who was responsible for the work. And had all kinds of those pragmatic things. And there I directly competed with him. And we came up with some of those ideas too. And we also stole some of his ideas as well, which because that was the ultimate sign of respect as far as I was concerned. And it got really nasty. I mean, the competition there got super nasty. And a story for another day, I went to Bill Gates to try to get him to mediate this nastiness because it was, it could all have been, you know, whatever. Our products, his product was always knocking us out of memory. These were whatever. Let's not go there. But Musk feels very much like Philippe Kahn. He's nasty. He's an asshole. Yeah, that's what people outside see. But what I see is this is a guy who bought something that was not working. And maybe he didn't want, maybe he bought it in an impulse, but it was a brilliant impulse. I wrote about it a couple of years before that Twitter is just sitting there waiting for some guy like Elon Musk to buy it. I wrote that. You know, I can show you the piece. I did. I didn't say like Elon Musk, but I described Elon Musk. Because the political power you get with Twitter is so stunning and so deep that people are failing to monetize that for corrupt purposes, it's an incredible thing to own. It's like, you know, being Orson Welles in Citizen Kane, you know? It's like, I'll tell them when to go to war or whatever, something like that. I'll tell them what they think. He had this great line in the movie, lots of great lines in that movie. You know, it's like you don't look at the balance sheet of that as a business to decide what its value is. That's small thinking. Big thinking is, could I elect the president of the United States from this thing? Fuck yeah, you can. Look, they did. It happened. Any fool can see that this thing was capable of electing presidents of the United States. So you tell me how much that is worth, right? And what put that on your balance sheet. If you owned the presidency of the United States, which if Trump were a little bit better at what he does, he would own the presidency. He certainly had every opportunity to do it. I'm surprised how little viruses it seems that they left in the government. You know, a really clever person could do that. I wrote this piece a few years ago, and then Musk does it. And I had been trying to warn my friends who had voices and would be listened to if they raised the alarms. But every one of them said, no, the balance sheet sucks. This company isn't going nowhere. You know, blah, 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 blah. Fuck you. That's not true. So, yeah. So Musk, I definitely wouldn't count him out. I totally wouldn't count him out in this situation. He's still the incumbent. And whatever Facebook tries to do here, they're building off of a reputation. I mean, a lot of this has to do is how do people see this system? When you want to go talk about something, where do you go? Today, it's absolutely still Twitter. All anybody, and this is the stupidity of this rollout. Somebody should have put the brakes on this thing and said, you're doing it at the wrong fucking time. It has to be ready for people, for the conversation to move over there. The instant this thing comes around. Okay, well, in the long run, if the conversation does go over there, it won't matter, right? It'll just be a little glitch. It'll be forgotten. But it could be that they've given enough of a clue now to Elon Musk. He knows what the competition is. He can sort of piece it together, what's going on the other side of this thing now that he may not have known before. He certainly got a lot more information, as we all did in the last few hours. And again, anybody who underestimates him, he's brilliant. And you can read the tea leaves and what he's doing with Twitter. And what he's trying to do is trying to find some mix of revenue that will sustain it while he molds it into being the thing that he wanted when he bought it. So, like I said, you know, they went through some kind of a transformation there at Facebook to make this product. And there will not, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, these are little glitches. Ask me in 2 weeks or 2 months if I have something I want to talk about that's, you know, political or technological. Not so much. Twitter's not doing that much anymore. It's just pretty much political. But do I go to Twitter or do I go to what? Jury's still out on that one. I know a lot of people think they know that now, but I think you've got a more clever person there at Twitter than anybody gives him credit for. And do I like him? No. Same way I felt about Philippe Khan. I did not like Philippe Khan. I respected the hell out of him, though. I really admired his creative ability to think of cool things to do with technology. And I feel the same way about Musk. He's absolutely impressed with what he does. But so I wouldn't count him out at all. So there you go. Thanks for listening. Oh, wait, just one more thing. I think that Mastodon and Blue Sky and whatever comes next, no problem. The thing about that, I actually do have something I want to say about that. I almost forgot. That the more I use Blue Sky and Mastodon, to a lesser extent, though, but it could come back. It could, and it's not that it's gone anywhere. It's just like this is the phenomenon. Is that I feel that it's really nice that it's a concentration of creative, interesting people. Just that. That it's not large, that's actually a really good thing for me. I think we could use quite a few more of those, and we should just be trying them out in every which way. And that means they need more APIs, and they need more core features. They really do. So anyway, and I've written lots about that. Go to textcasting.org. You want to read about that? That's where you go. All right, got to go. Talk to you later. Bye.